You're listening to The Startup with Monique Lare.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique Lare, and I happen to be Monique Lare. Welcome back to another show from my home in Laguna. And, you know, today's a really special day for Americans, as we know, up and around town. Congratulations to everybody playing in the Super Bowl this Sunday. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. Who are you guys rooting for? Go ahead and tag your favorite team on the Instagram page. If you're not following, it's The Startup with Monique Lare, L-O-R-E. And today's show, we're going about 30 minutes because we know you want to get back to the game. And if you tuned in now, we're grateful. If you watch it on the replay, we're grateful. I want to give a quick shout out before we get our special guest. A shout out to Costa LA. We were out there yesterday in on Melrose in Los Angeles raising money for court-appointed youth for the Wine and Art virtual event this year. So shout out to all my sponsors. Thank you so much to Michael Solberg Family Wines, La Casa del Camino Hotel. We've got so many sponsors to name, and I will tag you guys on this show, okay? I'll tag you on this show, and I'll tag you on my Instagram page. Thank you so much for your love and support. It really helped out some kids. Without further ado, though, we have, I call him Jay the Sensei, the restaurant sensei. Jay, how you doing, Jay? It's Jay Cremas. Did I say it right?
Happy Super Bowl Sunday, Monique.
How are you? How you doing? What's going on, Jay?
Good seeing you.
I haven't seen you in person.
It's been too long since we've been together in the same room together. But I will settle for
this. How long has it been? Like maybe 5 years.
Yeah, probably like 5 years.
Yeah.
Too long.
Such a good time.
Yeah.
It's so good to see you guys. We snuck you away from Super Bowl and from running all your beautiful businesses. I met you in Hollywood, running the town with a good friend of mine, Patrick Harris, producer friend of mine, at many moons ago, and Jerome and that whole crew, and just fell in love with your personality and your work ethic and your savvy for restaurants and aesthetic. Why don't you tell everybody exactly who you are? If they don't know who you are by face, they've been to one of your restaurants in the LA area.
Well, I hope so. If not, hopefully they'll go. My name is Jay Cremas. I own a few places currently. In downtown LA, we have Mezcalero, which is at 5th and Broadway, a little cool, amazing cocktails and margaritas, of course, and taco bar. In Long Beach, we have Padre and another Mezcalero on top of it. And then I have a little bar in West Hollywood called Foo Bar, which is closed because of the pandemic. The restaurants are open, limited capacity, outside dining, and of course, delivery and takeout. But the bar is closed.
Yeah. So,
right now, we're just doing like a delivery program out of there for another, like a third party. We're the distributor. So we're keeping busy, but it's not what, you know, we want to, I miss the people, I miss the crowds, I miss the energy and the excitement. But we do what we can.
That's one of your things. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
We do what we can. We're just grinding away. You know, I think there's less days in front of us with this pandemic than there are behind us. So everyone's going to be patient and keep hustling.
I like that you put it that way. And that's the only way we can look at it without wanting to go nuts, right? I mean, it's just, it's been a long one. I often wonder, you know, what our great grandparents did for keeping themselves busy in the 1918 pandemic. Too bad we couldn't ask them about it, you know?
Right. Pre-Zoom.
Pre-Zoom.
Parties, pre-everything. It's a good question. I wanted the same thing. I mean, look, I don't know, people in general, that period. But we're spoiled.
We're very fortunate, very spoiled. And I want you to spoil my listeners and viewers with more information about you. Now, he's being very humble, you guys, but Jay's, you know, he's kind of a legend around LA. I just admire your entrepreneurship and your work ethic and really each venue that you have. And I haven't, like I said, I haven't been to your spot in Long Beach yet, but your aesthetic. Tell us about how you walk through that process of the layout and the aesthetic and capturing each neighborhood and the menu and just without giving away your secret sauce. But if you wanted to,
No, there's no. Well, I've had including like a total of 8 concepts now. This is going to be my 8th one. It's really often I think that the community and the neighborhood and the space will kind of delegate what what you're going to kind of do. Like, you've been to my place in West Hollywood Foo Bar. It was a it was a dive bar. I opened it up with pennies to my name. So we kind of had to embrace the whole dive bar thing, and it just worked. And then you just, from that point, you just, it's in, when it comes to like bars, especially though, it's not really about the aesthetic or the design. It's about the personalities. People are coming back to a dive bar or a bar for an amazing, you know, colder beer. It's about the personalities, the folks behind the bar, the people that are attracted to the bar, the music, the DJs, the programming. Now, of course, it's different with restaurants. It is about the quality and the food and but still the service remains. It's also the personality. So as far as the design and the aesthetic, I mean, look, the most recent place that I opened up was this little tiny. We have a little speakeasy room. It's closed now, of course. Inside of a place in Long Beach, and there's a little like rum bar concept. So we wanted to make this little. It's no bigger than maybe like a. It seats maybe 20, 30 people.
Okay.
And we wanted this little escape, little tiki meets Savannah rum vibe. That will delegate, you know, a lot of like palm and tropical and pinks and like it's that. So the concept will kind of define the room, but again, at the end of the day, you have to kind of listen to what the crowd wants. You know what I mean? Your client wants. So I made that mistake before. So I've had several restaurants, not all of them have been successful. And that's the biggest takeaway I've had is like, okay, well now I know that I can't force this concept in this neighborhood or you know, this idea, this price point, this menu, it's just not going to work here. You have to be attuned to that and kind of swallow your ego and your pride. And oh, maybe I don't know better. You know, I'm going to listen to the clientele, my clients, I guess, and change things.
Well, that's a really good point, Jay. I'm glad you shared that with us, because for future restaurateurs out there and hotelers, is that what we say? How do we say hotel? Yeah. Hoteliers? taking what worked and the saying, I see it on Facebook all the time. I didn't really lose. I gained because I learned or I won, right? Or something. Right. I'm sure I smashed that saying up, but mm-hmm. You take away what you've done positive and you just extract your ego and you extract, all right, this didn't work out, and you just draw off the positives. And you're still here today because you did that. Getting lost in the failures is where people kind of, they lose their ambition, I think, a little.
100%. I think entrepreneurship in general, you have to be built that way. You have to have thick skin. And that just like never say no, drive and just like risk, you know. I mean, risk, measured risk, right? I mean, you want to be risky, but not reckless.
So, risky, not reckless. That's your new bar. The risky bar.
I like that. I like that a lot, actually.
I like it.
And then you'll make mistakes and you'll fall. And if you're not making mistakes in life in general, then you're not pushing yourself far enough. So. You just have to learn from those mistakes and hopefully like fine tune and that'll help you to guide the way, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I find that there's a lot of things in common with every type of entrepreneur that I've interviewed and I've met in my life. And there's a few things that I know for sure. And they're the ones that just keep going and become successful. There's that word grit. What do you think? You know, how did this form you? How did you become an entrepreneur? Do you remember something in your childhood that kind of formed who you are now? Or do you remember that moment where you chose to be an entrepreneur or gave yourself permission?
That's a great question. No, I mean, I know for sure that two things. One, I'm a workaholic. And I don't say that with a lot of pride, but it's definitely, I will never, ever be the smartest guy in the room. Person in the room ever, but there's a good chance I might be the hardest working person in the room, or at least I was at one point. At 52, I'm slowing down for sure. Whether I want to or not, I'm getting tired and slow. But I'm definitely a workaholic. And then I knew for sure that I didn't want. At some point, I knew I wanted to work for myself, and I can't at this point. I still feel that way today, even though the job is, you know. You're self-employed. People think, oh, you just make your own schedule, show up when you want. No, it's the opposite. You're working more than I think 9 to 5. You don't check. You don't punch a card, and you don't have weekends, especially as a
restaurant. There's no way.
Right.
Yeah.
But even taking all of that into consideration, the hours and the craziness and the stress and worrying about your employees, I still wouldn't trade it in for working for somebody else. I'm okay with all of it. I want to do my own thing. I know you have the same spirit and drive. Yep. And I think that's what unites entrepreneurs, is that's my definition of grit.
I love that. You identified that right away in yourself. Sometimes, you know, it takes a longer time for people. They are like, I'm miserable at this job. I know I'm getting a check on the, what is it? They used to have it on the 15th and the
right, first.
30th or whatever it is, every 2 weeks. Yeah. I'm thinking of 24 Hour Fitness is what I would get paid. And you know, it was like a weird day. It was like the 8th or the 23rd or something. But anyway, shout out to 24 Hour Fitness. are they still around? You've been doing this shit forever. So I got to figure this out. And by any means necessary, I'm going to be happy. And for me, I'll share with you a moment. And maybe this might trigger a memory for you. I remember working at a job, and I won't name the company because I did a list once with my dad. I worked like for everybody. It was insane. from grocery stores to fast food, anyway. And I remember, Jay, looking at my check and looking in the mirror and going, holy shit, I worked so too many hours at this place. And my check looked like that? The taxes are that?
Right.
Oh, hell no. And I just figured it out. I was like, you know what? I got to do something different. And I didn't know what self-employed was back then because, you know, I was probably like, what, 19, 20?
Right.
But I just remember going, I can't get a check like this. I have to figure out something else. And that was kind of the aha moment, you know?
And here you are today.
And here I am today. And it's been a hustle. Let's switch a little to the pandemic specifically. Now, a lot of restaurants, unfortunately, are closed around this nation, around the world, and aren't coming back. And that's effing heartbreaking to a lot of us, you know, who travel and enjoy a good meal, a good hotel, a good movie, and just it all kind of speaks to our vacation. And you know, we want to see those mom and pops succeed. How has your business shifted? I know you're doing takeout. And how have you navigated this time?
Well, it's been difficult, especially for restaurants here in Southern California, for sure. With the, you know, the you're allowed to open up with these measures in place, 50% capacity, then only outside dining, then only outside with 50% capacity, and then you're shut down again, then open again and shut down. And for me, the most heartbreaking and difficult part is with my employees. Not only are they losing their job, but then when, you know, okay, it's time to come back, and then they may not want to come back because they're nervous about the virus, of course, but they have to feed their family, and then the EDD money runs out and they have to come back. And it's just the whole back and forth has been super heartbreaking when it comes to my employees. And we're bending over backwards, and the government has helped, fortunately, with the PPP program and the idea and whatnot. But we had to get crafty and creative. All restaurants, I think, and bars, like on a dime, and we're lucky in that the state, California followed New York and some other states and allowed, for example, alcoholic beverages to be delivered, which is now I think going to be the new norm. I hope it's kind of it's interesting, right? That you could up until like 2 or 3 years ago, you couldn't buy a joint illegally, but right before the pandemic, I could literally order on. But on one of these websites to send to my house. I can't get a cocktail delivered to my house. It's still illegal.
Right.
It's not the case anymore.
I know, right? You make a really good point. I mean, just the takeout of an open container, even though it is technically closed with the lid, it's not sealed. Right. It's kind of interesting because I'm having like flashbacks from the DMV and the things you were taught about open containers and
Well,
you know, it's interesting.
All that's still true. It's still dangerous. You just have to do it in a safe way. It doesn't have to be sealed, but now we're able to switch our whole program, the cocktail program to cocktails that we're very cocktail driven at all of our locations. Mezcalero, Padre, maybe not so much in West Hollywood, but and now we have to make these cocktails that are you can build at home or part of it's at home, and it's from the packaging and branding and the delivery platform and getting on. Of course, we're you can order the products through our own website, and then also, of course, the third-party platforms, Uber Eats, Grubhub, Postmates, and whatnot. And and all the programming. And it was a lot of work in the front end. I'm happy that it happened and we were able to stay open and keep some people employed during that time. And now that we're able to open up as of a couple of weekends ago, again.
Congratulations, Jay.
Thank you. So we've been, it's been great. It's been busy. We've been at capacity. People were itching to get out and we're doing it safely.
Yes.
We removed even more tables from our dining area and it's been great.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So why don't we plug real quick? You're not leaving yet, but plug where people can follow you and all the restaurants. If you could give us your social media handles.
Yeah. So in Long Beach, it's Padre Long Beach. It's right in downtown Long Beach, and that's at Padre Long Beach on all platforms. And then Mezcalero there is Mezcalero LBC, Mezcalero, Mezcal, which is an agave, like tequila. And then Mezcalero DTLA is just that, Mezcalero DTLA. And then my Instagram is Booze Peddler.
I love it. And that's a you're a Booze Peddler. And I think on one of my Venmo or something, it's Wine a Little Mo. Because I'm a wino. Wine a Little Mo. I love it. Cheers. I know. So tell us what you think this year's going to wind up looking like for that small business owner out there. What do you predict? I feel some positivity coming from you, Jay. We need some positive words.
I'm very positive. I really am. I think that not dissimilar. You mentioned the 1918 pandemic, right? Right after that, in the roaring 20s. And there's other factors too. There's a war and whatnot. But I think that people are going to have that mindset. They're ready to go out and explore and be social and see the world and travel again, go to concerts, go to restaurants, go to be social, go to house parties even. People are, we're human.
Yeah.
I don't care how much, this is great, this platform we're on right now, Facebook and Zoom, it's great, but it's not, that human interaction is still like people crave. So I think that that's going to, you're going to see that, extend to every venture of business, and people will be not just restaurants, bars, and entertainment things, but everybody's going to do well. I think 2020, late 2020, 2021, fingers crossed, 2022 are going to be amazing. So if you are a small business owner, like, just hang on.
Okay, we're going to roar in the 20s. It's funny because it was roaring 20s back then, and it's going to be roaring 20s here. How nuts is that?
Yes.
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is not. All right. It's exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
So am I, Jay. So can you share, are you working on anything else? Anything percolating in your beautiful entrepreneurial mind? Any new cocktails? Any new dishes? Any new projects you care?
You know, I'm excited to be working with, again, getting back to the cocktail delivery thing. I think that is something that's here to stay. And it's a whole new way of looking at my business, like not just food. Well, there already have been websites and ways for people to order food from like restaurants delivered around the country. Gold Belt, for example, does that with some famous restaurants. Philly cheesesteaks, you have them delivered here at LA or whatever. I think that's going to start happening with cocktails. It already is. And all of the big distribution channels, FedEx, for example, and others are now getting on board and going to create systems where that's allowed. Like right now, for example, you're allowed to ship certain alcoholic items, but not others. I'm talking really vague here, I realize. What I'm trying to say is it's time for like some to start thinking about selling not just within four walls of a little restaurant or bar, but their product also to everybody. As long as they're legally, safely, and you know, with the responsible way. That's where the business is heading. So I'm kind of looking in that direction.
That's exciting. I read between the lines there also. So hopefully we'll have some crafted cocktails on the shelves near you with Jay's name on it, maybe.
Right.
Something. Yeah, we'll see.
If Exactly.
All right, that's good. Yeah, no, you know, as you're saying this, it reminds me of an entrepreneur in Vegas, which that's a no-brainer, having alcohol delivered to your Vegas hotel suite. Hello.
Right.
You know, but you have to, I don't know how you're going to have to work that out with the casino and the hotel, but.
Yeah. It's already happening and it's just going to continue to grow and grow and grow. I mean, before it's funny, as I mentioned earlier with, you know, marijuana delivery, that took this long to get to, you know, craft cocktails and spirits, but the time is here, and maybe that for restaurateurs and bar owners, like myself, that's one small silver lining of this whole COVID experience, is that some of the regulations have been looked at a little more in depth on the state level and federal level. And it's opened up some avenues for us to make money to survive. But I think those avenues of revenue will remain post COVID. Some states have already permanently made it legal, the delivery program. So I think I'm excited to do that. It's a whole new world.
We need it. And, you know, you're really helping out the distribution companies, the shipping companies. You know, they have a little skin in that game and they want to make a buck too. So it's not just you, and you're employing people when you're doing that. So many things to think about in that arena, maybe perhaps an alcohol vending machine. I could definitely see that in the Vegas airport. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That happened tomorrow.
I saw one somewhere. It's like champagne is like a, I forget.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a gallery or something. Yeah, it was great.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh!
From a vending unit, but yeah, it's an exciting time. It's a scary time, I think that the people, the entrepreneur spirit lives, and I think that especially among, I mean, it's all about like the entrepreneurial spirit, right?
100%.
It's really amazing seeing what restaurateurs and folks like you have done with this really awful experience, and kind of, you know, you're doing your film project. Restaurants, I've seen other like brick and mortar stores pivot in ways to make revenue, whether it's like live streaming events and then sharing somehow via Zoom. It's been pretty amazing, this creative spirit that people have had, and they're surviving. Yeah. Everything happened.
Yeah, it really has. And I'm getting a kick out of seeing people light up about fun ideas again. And like you said, we're getting there. We're not necessarily the home stretch, but I'm seeing a lot of vaccines rolling out and people are getting better. So thank you for being here, Jay. We have to have you back. Maybe we could do a field trip and come to the restaurant and
and
sample, maybe.
Tacos Margaritas.
Taco Margaritas. Wino goes tequila. All right, you guys, that's Jay Krimis. And if you want to follow him, check him out on Instagram. Give him your plugs one more time, Jay.
Booze Peddler, at Booze Peddler on Instagram. That's my name, Jay Krimis, on Facebook. And then the restaurants, Mezclero DTLA, Mezclero LBC, Padre LBC, and then Fubar LA.
Beautiful. Fubar's an LA classic, an original. And so are you. We'll see you really soon, Jay. Thank you again. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. Good luck with your team.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, thank you. All right, you guys, that's Jay Krimis. Check him out, Booze Peddler. Excuse me, I keep saying Boozy Peddler. thinking of that group, that music group. All right, so the show is short today because of the Super Bowl. I know you guys want to get back to that. And thank you for streaming right now with us if you are watching now. If not, if you're watching in the future, thank you for watching in the future. I want to give out a shout out to all my brands real quick on the last few minutes here. Michael Solberg Family Wines, thank you so much for all your love and support with the Casa LA 2021 Wine and Art event yesterday. Chelsea's Charity, a shout out to Chelsea's Charity in Connecticut. Thank you so much. Premier Accounting and Business Consultants in Alabama and in North Carolina. Christina and her team, thank you so much. La Casa del Camino, one of my favorite venues here in Laguna Beach. They are perfect for your pandemic staycation along these shorelines. So check them out. Shout out to everyone there. Fun FC. Thank you so much, Cheryl. Fundamentals for Foster Care. Much love. And thank you for your support out of Austin, Texas. Nadara's Healing Arts. She's doing all your love and help readings out of Portland, Oregon area. Thank you so much there, Nadara. Archery Jewelry, our friend and colleague and sister from the whole other side of the country, excuse me, the whole other side of the world, is Lotta over there at Archery Jewelry. It's spelled with two L's, the Swedish way, and she's out of Bali. Shout out to Lotta and Archery Jewelry. More culinary services. Thank you so much, Chris Moore, my friend since high school. He's cooking up all your amazing dishes. I still can't get over that salmon mousse that you did. Ivy Moon Organics. Shout out to Ivy Moon out there in New York. Ungun Institute, Dr. Marty K. Casey. Thank you so much for your support. Meek Legacy, AKA Beautiful Butterflies out of North Carolina. Thank you so much, Kiva. Save Our Jewels, Rain Campaign, Save Our Jewels out of Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much, Tiara. Elevating Urban Environments, shout out to Roger in San Diego. Thank you so much. And Bail Out Bail Bonds with Mr. Lotto Jimenez in Los Angeles. Thank you so much. So we've got support from all around the globe. And you guys are getting one of these tote bags for everybody that supported each sponsor, I should say. And, of course, my brands, The Wine Caterers and Cap Aquarius Media, who put on the swag bag. Shout out to Casa LA for doing their part in helping court-appointed youth. And thank you so much for tuning in, you guys. I want to just do a quick little shift here and plug the Pandemic Project documentary. If you have not seen the supersized trailer on YouTube, please take a look. It's 7 minutes and 58 seconds. We really supersized it because last year was too big to put into 2 minutes, right? So we highlighted where we were last year, all 20 cities around the U.S. on YouTube, the Pandemic Project documentary trailer. Please take it, like, and share, as well as leave a comment below, okay? We want to hear from you. Last but not least, we leave on February 21st, my team and I, and we're going to Mexico City and Bogota, Colombia. We're going to be filming some interviews with entrepreneurs in that area, and we're going to be working on the pandemic film, which is the second installation to the pandemic films, if you will. So we're doing three films on the pandemic. The first one is in America called the Pandemic Project Documentary. The second one is the pandemic film, and that's going to be 16 to 20 cities around the world. That's our international film. And then the third one is a surprise. We won't talk about that just yet, but the third one has a different tone and tenor to it. So if you're interested in being interviewed and you have family or friends in that area, you know, we'll be in the Mexico City and Bogota, Colombia area. Brazil is going to be put on hold until a little bit later. We had to make a show, but just not right away, okay? So email us, Cap Aquarius Media, like Capricorn and Aquarius, so C-A-P Aquarius Media at gmail.com. Follow me on Instagram, Monique Lorray Stinson, or Cap Aquarius Media, or The Startup with Monique Lorray. There's so many Instagram accounts, guys. You can follow us on the pandemic film as well. Shout out to La Casa del Camino, Michael Solberg, Family Wise. Thank you so much for your support once again. And I ask you this every Sunday, and this is Super Bowl Sunday, so what will you start up today? Thanks again to our guest, Jay. Have a beautiful, safe Sunday, and we'll see you next weekend. Bye, guys.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Lorray, only on LA Talk Radio.